This podcast of this Swain event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Let's get to Turkey Man on the B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Then we'll knock out Touchdown Turnover here on the Swain event. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, individuals.
Good morning, Turkey Man.
Hey, hope you had a good black IP and hog jowl and collard greens and cornbread day.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Amen. Well, I miss Charlie on here. When I ask questions like I'm fixing to ask, I always like to have master degrees, you know, out there so that you can have pull from the best, you know.
Yeah,
and
Charlie's in hockey world right now, man. He's at the Preds game last night. He's probably still celebrating or crying. I don't know.
Preds won.
They win
4-0 last night.
Yeah, so he's probably still celebrating this morning.
Oh yeah. Well, in one word, what word would you use to describe the officiating this past season? In one word, what that would be? The other thing is, why in the Sam Hill would a team be put on a top 25 list if they're not eligible for a playoff? What criteria should be taken for a team to even be put on a top 25 list?
What do you mean, Turkey Man?
Well, what I'm trying to say is, if you're picking a team, the 25 best teams in the country, and from that pool of top 25 to bump up to number one eventually before the season is over with, that would be a criteria to be number one. If you're gonna be on the list, you gotta be on the grocery list. If you're gonna be putting the smoker, I mean, you gotta make that list. You know what I mean?
Well, Turkey Man, there is a criteria to be ranked in the top four. I mean, it's your strength of schedule, it's how well you play, it's your quality wins, things like that. I mean, you see teams all the time with a really good record be ranked in the top 25, but the only thing that matters for any team, it should matter, is are you one of the top four teams and having a chance to win a national championship? So, I mean, Central Florida deserved to be ranked in the top 10. I mean, they were undefeated. They have a good team. Unfortunately, their starting quarterback got hurt, but they're a good football team. They're just not ready for a big-time conference, because if they played in a conference like a ACC or SEC or Big Ten, I'm sorry, they're losing – they're losing 3, 4, 5 games a year. They have a good thing going right now, but still, they're just not ready yet.
I look at Notre Dame. That's why it's so cloudy with this committee that they have. Pardon me, but I've listened to them talk. Those that's on the committee seem like they got an attitude. They just got an attitude about what they do, and it's secret, and you just don't understand it. And I feel like it's Butch Jones giving us let me teach you something attitude. And they come out with this. What is your criteria? Do you have to meet this? Do you have to meet this? Do we have to meet this? Do you have to meet this to be on there? And then they change it according to what they want to put in. Notre Dame. If you number one, the criteria that they've used in the past is you have to play for your conference championship. I've seen them use that. Have you not?
I mean,
as an excuse,
as a pick,
they
picked before.
It. Yes, they used that. So if you use that, that must be one of your criteria. I'm uncomfortable here. Okay.
I can tell, Turkey Man. I can tell you're uncomfortable, man.
It's you picking you're picking a team that number one can't play for their conference championship. They did that against the excuse against and I ain't sure how good the team was and never did get an opportunity to find out, was Baylor and TCU that first year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they was a good team. They didn't do enough,
Turkey, man. And thanks for the phone call. They didn't do enough. They didn't have a strong enough schedule. They did have a good team, but they didn't do enough. And I think there's a lot of complaints. You know, Turkey Man's first question is one word to describe the officiating this year. And for me, it's inconsistent. There's no true definition of targeting that makes sense. You look at last night's Georgia and Texas game. The referees don't even know the rules. There was two dead ball fouls against
Texas. And they weren't hashed.
And they're talking about offsetting penalties. What? That's two personal foul or two 15-yard penalties. It should have been 30 yards added on. I mean, how is that hard to mess up? First of all, it wasn't targeting. It was a late hit.
Oh, they got that wrong.
On the quarterback, which should have been a 15-yard penalty. And then you had the Texas player pushing. That's another 15 yards. You had the holding, so you should have
gone back,
penalized Georgia for the holding, and then added on 30 yards. And then the player who was dismissed for targeting, he should have been allowed to come back because it wasn't targeted.
It wasn't.
I mean, I don't know how hard that was.
Now, it was absolutely a personal foul, late hit.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't dive at a quarterback sliding to the ground, but he did not hit him in the head area. It was shoulder pad to shoulder pad, if I remember correctly. The word that I would use is illogical because nothing makes sense. The targeting rule doesn't make sense. The reasoning for penalties doesn't make sense. There's pass interferences that are called and not called every week. There's holding calls that are called and not called every week. Another penalty that is called all the time and doesn't make sense is the illegal man down the field call. I mean, last night I heard Todd Blackledge say Cade Mays is like 10 yards down the field right now and he wasn't called for it. It's like it was a passing play. He ran a run play.
I remember Nick Saban complaining about this a couple of years ago. A lot of coaches have complained about this. There's a grace of about 2 to 3 yards.
I think 3 yards is the
– Yeah, there's a grace. You know, you can come off the ball and 3 yards down the field still be a pass play. And, man – that's so confusing if you're letting offensive linemen go down the field more than 3 yards on these RPOs, because that's how they read plays. If you allow linemen to go down 4 or 5 yards, I mean, they're at a severe disadvantage. I think they need to shore up that rule, stop allowing linemen to go down the field more than 3 or 4 yards.
Or just call it consistently.
Call it consistently, man. I mean, I think the officiating has been really inconsistent.
The one thing I would say about the officiating, though, is I don't blame the referees, because to me they're just doing what they're told. On most, particularly the targeting rule, I don't really blame that on the actual referees.
On the targeting, I don't.
I blame college football and its officials for putting the referees in a bad situation, because nobody understands the rule. Everybody has a different understanding of what targeting is. Your targeting definition is probably different than mine. And yours is probably different than the head referee of the Texas-Georgia game last night.
I don't like the whole defensive hit on a player and that being called targeting, because that should not be the defender's fault if a guy's not paying attention, if he's not looking. If you catch the ball and you're looking the wrong way and you get hit, technically he is defensive because he's not looking. He's not able to protect himself. I don't understand that rule at all. But anyways, touchdown turnover. Kirby Smart is a bad in-game coach, touchdown or turnover. You look at Georgia making some moves a couple of years ago to get rid of Mark Richt for Kirby Smart because they wanted to get over that hump. And I don't know if they upgrade as far as in-game coaching. I know they have played for a national championship. They have played and won an SEC championship, something that Mark Richt has done a couple times there at Georgia. The only thing they have done more at Georgia than with Kirby Smart than with Mark Richt is get to the championship game and have a chance to win the championship game. Other than that, everything else has been pretty much the same. I guess the recruiting rankings look better, but they've always recruited really good players. But answering the question, Kirby Smart was not a good in-game coach. Touchdown, turnover.
I'll go turnover. I don't think there's enough evidence to say that he's a bad in-game coach. Obviously, he made a poor decision in the SEC championship game to run a fake punt on 4th-and-11. That was just did not make sense at all. But I just don't think there's enough evidence. Unless I'm just forgetting something off the top of my head, aside from the fake punt in the SEC championship game, I don't remember watching a Georgia game over the last 3 years and thinking, wow, Kirby, what are you doing? I don't remember that. And even last night, even with Jim Chaney, I look at the offense, I look at the defense, and to me it just looked like guys weren't executing more than anything. The one thing that I would critique Kirby on from last night is he did not have his team ready to play, in my opinion, mentally ready to play. And you even heard Holly Rowe on the broadcast say that the first three practices, they were benching starters because they weren't having good practices. They weren't locked in mentally. To me, that's not a good sign at all. And granted, I do chalk that up to being that Georgia players may have mailed it in since they didn't make the playoffs. But Kirby can't allow that to happen. What game in Nick Saban's tenure at Alabama have we looked at and said, Nick Saban didn't have his guys ready to play? That's the difference between Nick Saban and Kirby Smart right now. Is Nick Saban always has his guys ready to play. And against LSU this season, against Texas, Kirby Smart didn't have his guys ready to play.
I guess the one game you're looking at and say Nick Saban didn't have his guys ready to play is when they lost to Utah in a bowl game. They also lost to Oklahoma, but that was after they were eliminated from playing a national championship game. And so did Georgia kind of suffer that yesterday? I don't like using that as an excuse. You got to play the game. Yes, Georgia might have been deflated that they didn't play a national championships playoff or whatever, but you had a couple players who felt like they were slighted for not being selected. And I know four or five players doesn't speak for the entire mentality of a football team, but I thought that Georgia would come out and kind of prove that they belonged in the playoff and come out and kind of demolish Texas and play a little bit better, but they didn't look ready to play. Now, Kirby Smart after the game said, no, I mean, we were ready to play, and they're not going to use that excuse of, you know, being deflated and not being ready to play. I'm gonna say touchdown, man. I don't really think Kirby Smart's a great in-game coach, but at the college level, you don't really have to be a great in-game coach to win 10, 11 games. When you recruit the way Georgia has recruited, Kirby can get away with that. Now, not being an in-game coach costs you championships, and it has in 2 years. It has with the SEC championship game. It did last year when they were up on Alabama, and Kirby decided to take the foot off the gas. He decided whatever strategy they implemented, it did not work. They had that game in control, and they lost that lead. That's in-game coaching.
I chalk that one up more to just of freaky events happening on the other side of the field. I mean, if Nick Saban doesn't put Tua in the game, Georgia wins that national championship, and we're not having this conversation. I blame him for losing this SEC championship game this year and missing out on that championship game. But last year's game, did he take his foot off the pedal? Yes, he did. But I chalk that one up more to just
that's in-game coaching, though. You take your foot off the gas?
It is, but again, Georgia wins that national championship game if Tua doesn't go in, even with Kirby taking his foot off the pedal a little bit.
So you're just giving all the credit to Tom Brady and you're not blaming Dan Quinn at all for that Super Bowl?
It's a bunch of nuances to it. To me, both can be true at the same time. Like, sure, Kirby deserves blame for taking his foot off the pedal, but that's not why Georgia lost. Georgia lost because, in my opinion, Tua was just this miraculous event.
You can control, but you have to be held accountable about what you can control. But what you could control, you did not do a good job of that. Kirby Smart did not play aggressive when they had a lead, and it allowed Tua to come in and be successful offensively. Tua has nothing to do with Jake Fromm in the offense. Tua's going up against Georgia's defense at that time. Offensively, they took the foot off the gas, and they allow Alabama to come back in that game. That's a, to me, that's a strike on Kirby Smart. That's his ability to coach in game. You look at the Super Bowl last year, and the Eagles, they were up, and they didn't take the foot off the gas. They continued to be aggressive. They didn't play scared, and that's why they were Super Bowl champions. If Georgia would have done the same thing last year, they probably are national champions. If Georgia would have made a better decision in the SEC championship game against Alabama, also being up by a lot of points, then they would have won that too. Yeah, they went out and brought in Jalen Hurts, but still, Georgia lost the same way they lost in the national championship game, in the SEC championship game, getting up and playing scared. And that, to me, is in-game coaching. Kirby's going to win 10, 11 games every year because he recruits well. But the difference in winning a championship is in-game coaching. Clemson would be back-to-back national champions if Nick Saban would have not out-coached Dabo and executed that onside kick in that championship game. That was a move. That was an in-game coaching move that Nick Saban beat Dabo on. So Clemson came back the next year, had some better in-game coaching, and they won that game. Great play call there with Hunter Renfrow with the rub route, and they get the win. But the difference between winning 10, 11 games and winning a championship, to me, is in-game coaching, and Kirby has yet to prove that he can do that. He's going to win because he's going to recruit better players than most of his opponents. But you can't sit here and tell me that he don't deserve some blame and that he's a great in-game coach, or is he even a good in-game coach right now? He's not. He may be average. But as long as he's winning games, I guess that's all that matters there at Georgia. 865-255-03. Be right back.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sauteed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
If you aren't following the Swain event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com. So fun trying to communicate with Comcast while you're doing the show. Thanks a lot, Comcast. Really appreciate it, man. Way to start the new year. Way to start the new year, Comcast. 865-200-5503, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline this morning. We are streaming live on the Swain Event app, free for Apple and Android devices. So go to your search bar, type in Swain Event, and you can download the app free of charge. Again, our telephone number, 865-200-5503. Tennessee still looking for an offense coordinator, and the Swain Event Christmas tree is still up. Even though my kids took down the ornaments, the tree is still up, and it's still lit. Still lit. We are holding the tree up until Tennessee hires offense coordinator. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Steve Sarkisian? I've heard that Tennessee has talked to Steve Sarkisian. They have talked, according to people that I have spoke with. Sarkisian was fired by the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons also fired the defense coordinator. Offensively, they put up points. Defensively, they struggle, but they are making some major changes down there in Atlanta, and they should. Steve Sarkisian, is he better served in a college game? Looks like that's the case. He was there at Alabama. Kiffin was out. He was inserted as offense coordinator, and I don't think his flavor is Nick Saban's coaching style when it comes to how he manages his assistant coaches. And he decided to leave and go to the Atlanta Falcons. And that has not worked out. Does Tennessee talk to and strike a deal with Steve Sarkisian? You can connect the dots. Pruitt's cool with Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin is cool with Sarkisian. There's a tie there. What happens there? You need a coordinator that can develop the quarterback position. If you make no staff changes, you still have Chris Winkie, you still have Will Friend, David Johnson, Brian Niedermeyer, you have everyone on offense. No one leaves. It seems to me the only person that you can bring in is offense coordinator who coaches quarterbacks, and that's it. So Steve Sarkisian makes sense. He does. Jim Chaney makes sense. Matt Canada makes sense. Let's get to Chris in Georgia. Chris, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hope the New Year's treating you well.
You too, man.
Hey, so, yeah, I was calling back to piggyback off the offensive coordinator search. You know, there's some – you may have discussed it earlier. I just tuned in. There's some rumors about Jim Chaney floating around, maybe having interest in coming back. And to my knowledge, he was working without a contract maybe as soon as yesterday. If he makes the trip back to Knoxville, what are the odds that he could bring Sam Pittman back? And to add to that, what else – what would that do to our coaching staff as far as Will Friend and the other guys?
This is what I know. I know Sam Pittman and Jim Chaney loves East Tennessee. I heard it come out of their mouths. I know that. They are in sweet positions, especially Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman's in a better spot at Georgia than Jim Chaney. He really is. Because he doesn't have to call plays. All he has to do is develop his offensive line. They have a young offensive line, but very talented, and they're recruiting lights out. Jim Chaney, contract is up this year. He did not get an extension so far that we know of. It's not been made public if it happened. You look at James Coley, who was just a wide receiver coach last year. Now, with a new role, he's a co-offense coordinator, and he's a quarterback coach. And he got a $400,000 bump in his pay. So it looks like they're taking, I guess, some responsibility away from Jim Chaney. They're giving Coley more power, more money. How does Jim Chaney feel about that? Chaney and Pittman have worked together at a couple different stops. This is their third stop in the SEC where they have worked together. They've worked together at Tennessee, Arkansas, and now Georgia. For Sam Pittman to go anywhere with Jim Chaney, the staff numbers have to make sense. Tennessee has an extra staff member on the defensive side of the football. They have Terry Ferry corners. They have Charles Kelly with safeties. Sometimes you have just one secondary coach, and then you're able to put that number on offense. But Tennessee has that extra number on defense. Well, Chris Winkie is your running back coach. David Johnson is your wide receiver coach. Brian Niedermeyer is your tight ends coach. Will Friend is your O-line coach. So you don't have enough room to bring in two guys on offense. You can bring in Chaney. The numbers say you can bring in Chaney if you're able to sign him to a better deal and Georgia don't sign him to a better deal. Maybe you can get Chaney this year and worry about Pittman another time. But the numbers doesn't make a lot of sense bringing both of them in right now. It just doesn't.
I'll maintain what I said on Monday, though. With Sam Pittman, you make the numbers work. I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you get there. You've got to make it work. If you can get Sam Pittman, which, like you said, he's in a great situation at Georgia, so I don't know that Tennessee would be able to. But if you could, you make the numbers work however you need to for a guy like Sam Pittman.
But, I mean, I think you have to also be reasonable and, I mean, be realistic. How can you do it and keep everyone? You can't.
You'd have to get rid of somebody. Do we need three defensive backs coaches?
I don't think you do.
I don't think you do either.
I mean, the head coach is defensive back coach at heart. I don't think you need three guys back there, but that's what we have. That's the situation. If you are suggesting making one guy the defensive back coach and then using that extra number on offense, I agree with you. You are a defensive head coach in Darren Pruitt. You should be able to use that extra number on offense, especially where this offense is right now. They need all the help they can get. If you're going to win in the SEC, the line better be on point. And I hate that Will Friend is not really getting any love right now. The offensive line was not good this year. He didn't have a lot to work with. He has the opportunity to bring in some really, really good players. And then we'll see how good of a coach Will Friend is with the offensive line. He's not getting a fair shake from some of our fans. They look at last year, they go, oh, he stinks, he sucks, he's bad, he's terrible, get rid of him. And I'm not there. I don't agree. I don't agree right now. I need to see more. I need to see him with talent. Does he take talent and make them better? Does he take less than desirable talent and make them serviceable? There were some times this year where they were serviceable. I mean, they beat Kentucky's butt. They beat Auburn's butt. I mean, those are two good wins. When you sit back and think about how those two teams ended their season, Kentucky winning against Penn State, having their best season since 1977 or something like that.
77.
You look at Auburn and how they ended their season. I mean, just demolishing their opponent.
Purdue.
I mean, the offensive line was terrible at times. But I'm sorry, you don't go from terrible to just good overnight in one game against Auburn or Kentucky if you don't have some type of coaching. So I need Will Friend to get some better players. 865-255-03. Let's see who we have next here. We have D.R. Vall. D.R. Vall, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Great, man. How are you, man? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to y'all. I want to continue the Chaney talk. I don't know how much y'all watched of the Georgia game last night, but there was one part where the announcer talked about Kirby Smart, how he said the LSU game was kind of his fault because he wanted them to, I think he said, throw it more, and he kind of put that blame on him. Did y'all catch that?
I did not. I did not catch it.
So I didn't know if that was kind of a thing where he was kind of trying to take over the play calling like Pruitt was accused of in the Vanderbilt game, or I wanted to see what your opinion was on that.
I know Kirby Smart thinks a lot of Coley, James Coley, their co-offense coordinator and quarterback coach. And if Chaney feels like he's not appreciated, I could see him moving. I really can. And Georgia fans just can't wrap their head around that, because all people think about is, why would you leave a situation where you're winning? It ain't all about winning. It's about being valued. It's about being appreciated. It's about, you know, the quality of life. If you're unhappy about where you work and you can make 1.4 in a place that you love, an area of the country that you love in East Tennessee, I can definitely see Chaney making that move. I can. I can also see him staying because he's going to have the pick of the litter with talent.
Yeah, I know it's a pipe dream, but I would love to have Chaney back. You know, there's a lot of Georgia fans on Twitter. They don't really care for Chaney, and I don't see why.
I don't think it is a pipe dream. I think there's mutual interest.
I hope so. That's who I'm pulling for. I liked him when he was here. You know, when he was here with Dulander, the problem was not the offense. His offenses were fun to watch.
Yeah, I think there's mutual interest. When I say mutual interest, I think Pruitt likes Jim Chaney and would love to have him. And I think Jim Chaney loves Knoxville and loves this area. He loves this part of the country. And last time I checked, 1.3, 1.4 was a whole lot more than 850.
Well, like you said earlier, I think you can get him to 1.5. I mean, you were paying Tyson Helton 1.2. There's no reason Jim Chaney can't be at 1.5. Tennessee has the money. Will they pony up?
I wonder if they paid Craig Fitzgerald more for getting him to stay instead of going home to Maryland. I wonder what that contract is going to be like moving forward. Did we pay more money for that one?
Surely you did. I mean, you didn't just keep things as is and expect him to stay.
It's crazy because when you look at this record, you look at the overall record of this team, and the last thing we should be talking about is any staff member getting more money. No one deserved anything. Look at the record. But that's the way college football works. You look at Brian Niedermeyer, what he's doing in recruiting. You look at Craig Fitzgerald declining to go to Maryland. Did he decline at the same salary, or is Tennessee going to have to give him more money? Maybe that plays into how they hire the next offensive coordinator. Swain Event, stay with us.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799. Gentlemen, when it comes to taking care of your health, sometimes the first step is the hardest. Low T Center is making it easier to take that first step. It all starts with knowing the numbers that are essential to a man. Testosterone levels, blood pressure, cholesterol, prostate, and thyroid. Low T Center makes it quick and easy to get all these levels checked and more. Low T Center specializes in men's health and has expanded their services, including sleep apnea, low thyroid, hypertension, severe allergies, high cholesterol, diabetes, and annual physicals, along with testosterone replacement therapy. The physicians at Low T Center not only want to help you feel good again, they want to help you prevent any serious health problems moving forward. Now, with the holistic approach to your overall health and wellness, Low T Center is making it more convenient for men to take care of their health. and most health insurance is accepted. They'll even verify for you. Take the first step for your health and call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet is celebrating 85 years of low prices. And during Truck Month, choose from over 400 trucks and SUVs, all deeply discounted. Like a new Silverado, now 25% off. A new Equinox, now 20% off. And a certified pre-owned 15 Equinox or Terrain, now $16,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Big selection and even bigger savings. That's why it's better at Beatty Chevrolet.
Number 232, savings off NSRV, blue dot dealer savings, and manufacturer incentives with approved credit, must finance through GM. Offer expires 8/31.
When you're out running around shopping for all your holiday gatherings, don't forget to grab the Mrs. Grissom's. Mrs. Grissom's salads and cheese spreads are perfect when you need a delicious, easy meal and ready-to-eat containers the whole crowd will enjoy, like the select old-fashioned pimento cheese or cranberry pecan chicken salad or the classic Mrs. Grissom's ham salad. Select the best. Select Mrs. Grissom's. Find recipe ideas and coupons at MrsGrissom's.com.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Raining in my heart. Since we've been apart.
I'll just be honest with you. This morning, there's no more excuses of why Tennessee has not hired offensive coordinator.
I was thinking the same thing as I was driving over here this morning.
There's really no more excuses. And I, for one, am not on the train. Well, oh, my gosh, you know, things are falling apart because Tennessee doesn't have an offense coordinator. I said this weeks ago. It only becomes a problem if it costs you players, because we know for Tennessee to be able to win games more consistently, they need better players. You can get an offense coordinator a lot easier than you can go out and get a Kavarius Crouch or a Wanya Moores. If not having a coordinator costs you a player like that, then it becomes a truly big deal and a problem, in my opinion. But I've sat back and I've listened to folks make excuses talking about it's 95% done to make it seem like everything is all good and everything is going to according to plan. And I've seen that stance be blown up because Mike Yurcik is going to Ohio State. It was reported by Austin Ward and John Bryce, also confirmed by Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. A lot of folks talking about Mike Yurcik going to Ohio State. Tennessee was first there. Tennessee talked to him. Tennessee offered him. Tennessee got declined.
Because Ohio State is more appealing. Well, was the Ohio State interest there when he declined Tennessee?
I don't know.
I hope it was, because if not, that's a totally different story.
I don't know. I know Mike Yurcik was offered a whole lot of money. Close to double. Not truly double, but close to double his salary. A whole lot more money. A whole lot more money than what Tyson Helton was being paid. And he said no. Do we know why he said no? I don't. But if you were to maybe list out reasons of why, Ohio State, more appealing, better situation, starting off with a coach in Ryan Day. They did a really good job when he took over as interim coach. Also, the talk in coaching circles is that Jeremy Pruitt micromanaged Tyson Helton. That's the talk. Now, Ryan Day is an offensive guy. So, honestly, Mike Yurcik would get more credit if he comes to Tennessee and has success offensively than at Ohio State. But the road to being a head coach may be easier for him going to Ohio State.
Oh, obviously, he'll have the great chance to work with Greg Schiano.
Well, he'll have a good quarterback. He'll have good players on offense. He'll win, and I think that will speed line his way to a head coaching job probably faster than coming to Tennessee. let's get to the phones. Who's that you say?
We got Trey.
Trey, good morning, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry, Terry.
Terry.
It's okay. Yeah. If it was me, what I would do, if I could get Taney and Pittman, I would move Chris Winkley, and I'd move, because you think Freeman could coach running back?
I think he could. He was offensive coordinator at Colorado State. And coaching running backs and coaching tight ends are not that difficult.
Right. You know, because to me, Chris Winkley, you know, I don't think he did, I think he could have did a lot better recruiting because, you know, to me, he really didn't pull anybody from IGM. I thought he would have did a lot better, recruiting down there.
If
he was the head coach.
I thought we would have more success in IMG, too.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, if I could get Pittman and Chaney, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I thought we would clean up a little bit more at the IMG Academy than what we did. That's a lot of pressure for Winky to, hey, you know, you coach there. We want all these players from IMG, even when Tennessee is a wreck and all these other teams look better. But I thought we would get more than just one player who was already from Knoxville. I'm just being honest.
It looks funky. And, you know, there's a lot of critique of Chris Winky last recruiting cycle when Tennessee didn't pull anybody from IMG Academy, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt because he didn't have a lot of time to make things happen. I mean, they had 2-3 weeks to get guys in here. That's, to me, you can't judge him based off of that short sample size. But this recruiting cycle, he had an entire year, and you pull in one player, and that one player was already from here?
Yeah. And maybe my expectations were higher than it should have been.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's me.
Maybe those connections will pay off this recruiting cycle if Chris Winkie is still on board next year.
I did expect more from that relationship. I really did. 865-255-03. Let's go back to the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Let's bring in Don. Don, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Don.
It sure is good to watch them SEC teams go down. But
I know it, man. I know it. It's Tennessee fans. It's great.
I hate Michigan, but I was pulling for them to knock off them Gators. But, hey, as far as your goes, I think the two main things are if he's going to Ohio State, in fact, he's from Zionsville, Ohio, so he's going home.
Yep.
But what I don't understand, just from reports, and of course, until it's announced, who knows what they're going to do, but in what position. But everything I've read says he's going there as the passing game, maybe the passing game coordinator and quarterback coach. He's not going to be the offensive coordinator. They got one. His name's Wilson. Used to be Indiana head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if he must really not want to be here if he was indeed offered all that money and get to be the OC versus a position coach and one of those in name only titles.
Yep.
And that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm sure he thinks he's got more toys to play with, but I'm not sure he was ever offered. I'm not sure that so-called offer wasn't the story put out by his agent to make Ohio State move.
I think he was offered. I think he was offered for sure. And something happened there in the last little bit that blew up the deal, and he's going to Ohio State, and it appears like his deal's not as sweet at Ohio State as it would be at Tennessee, because you would have the play calling. You would have all the credit if the offense is successful, mm-hmm. because you will be an offense coordinator for a defensive-minded head coach, a guy who's going to spend most of his time on defense. If you're going there to Ohio State, Ryan Day's an offensive guy. And then you have Kevin Wilson there already. You're not going to get any credit at all. Maybe it's home. Maybe home for you. Maybe you have a chance to become a head coach faster going to Ohio State than Tennessee. That's the only thing I can really think of.
I consider the retreads and stuff that some of these schools are looking at, I don't know, you know, the fact that Butch is his name's even been floated at West Virginia, for instance. It's just
Hold on. Butch Jones' name was floated for the West Virginia job?
It certainly was. I read an article that they were looking at. They named some guys, or younger guys, very successful guys, but some of the money people was more interested in some people with more longevity, and I forget who the other coach was, but he was not a highly successful one either, and Butch Jones. That are the names that I read yesterday in an article.
Well, Butch Jones' name has been floated with a lot of jobs because he has the best agent in the game.
Correct.
And his agent's job is to get his name out there, float his name out there. There is a tie because Butch was the wide receiver coach there, right, under Rich Rod.
Yep.
So, hey, I hope West Virginia goes that route and saves Tennessee some money. But,
well, here's what blows my mind. Talking about Rich Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss has changed defensive and offensive coordinators both in just the last few days.
Matt Luke.
You got a guy like Rich Rod on offense.
Matt Luke.
And the guy from Colorado, the head coach of Colorado on defense.
Yeah, Mike McIntyre. Matt Luke won the hiring season. He's the hiring head coach champion.
You take him over what Clay Helton did with Kingsbury?
Dude, Cliff Kingsbury's interviewing with the Cardinals, interviewing maybe with the Jets. He may leave. He may leave, man. He may leave. I mean, I look at what Matt Luke did. He brought in, and this is him putting his ego to a side. And, Don, thanks so much for the phone call. Happy New Year to you. This is what it takes if you really want to be successful. And Tennessee can learn a lesson from this. I think Haslam can learn a lesson from this. And maybe he's learning the lesson. Maybe that's why the Browns are starting to become a better football team, is that you hire people who are better than you. You hire people that's better than you. And you manage them, you empower them, you don't get in their way, you let them do their job, and that's how you're successful. Nick Saban is the only guy who can micromanage and be successful.
So far,
everyone else tries to be Nick Saban. They're not Nick Saban. Hire somebody, let them do their job. Coach Fulmer's really good at that. At the peak of Tennessee's football in the SEC, he had David Cutcliffe, he had John Chavis. Those two dudes were head coaches of their units. And Matt Luke, man, he probably got two dudes who are better head coaches than him. He don't care. He's a head coach. Great job bringing in Rich Rod. Be really interested to see what he does on offense, because when I think about Rich Rod's offense, I don't know. But we'll see what happens. But Mike McIntyre, man, what a freaking hire that is. That's a great hire. Great hire. 865-255-03. For what? Coming up next. Need your love.
What is coming up on the Swain event?
There is a 50% chance of showers today, cloudy with a high of 52 and a low of 43. A 40% chance of rain tomorrow with a high near 52 and a low around 40. More rain likely on Friday with a high in the mid-50s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. B-Dry.com.
Do you have cracks in your foundation? A wet basement or a nasty, leaky crawl space? Our listeners have heard about them on the Swain event for over a year, and now it's time to make the call. Give B-Dry Waterproofing and Foundation Repair the opportunity to fix your home's problem. Since 1958, that's right, nearly 60 years, B-Dry has been solving basement, crawl space, and foundation problems throughout the country. B-Dry only uses high-quality materials from reputable manufacturers. They back their installations with some of the best warranties in the industry to provide homeowners with added peace of mind. They are truly an A-plus company. Whenever you start experiencing a wet basement, leaky crawl space, or a cracked foundation, remember these three words. Better call B-Dry. Reach out to B-Dry today at 865-662-5238 to schedule your free appointment. That's 865-662-5238. Remember, better call B-Dry.
Do you want a custom-themed tumbler or bottle to show off your team spirit every day of the week? Well, look no further than Game Time Sidekicks. Every design has you, the fan, in mind. Their tumblers and bottles are double-walled, vacuum-insulated stainless steel, and their quality is second to none in the market. From stainless steel sippy cups to tumblers and sports bottles, Game Time Sidekicks offers something for the fan of all ages to rep their team with. They have many different logo options, so fans will have something they are proud to carry around all the time. Use promo code SWAIN at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase at GameTimeSidekicks.com. They also offer $5 flat rate shipping. Be sure to check out the Game Time Workshop on the website and customize your tumbler to make it one of a kind with things like your nickname, number, or initials. Game Time Sidekicks. Show your colors and carry your team.
If you're among the 40% of obese American adults, you know that diet and exercise doesn't always work. The National Institute of Health recognizes bariatric surgery as the most effective long-term treatment for severe obesity. Premier Surgical's two bariatric offices, Foothills Weight Loss Surgeons and New Life Center for Bariatric Surgery, have helped thousands of East Tennesseans change their lives and health. Weight loss surgery has been shown to improve or resolve many obesity-related conditions such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and sleep apnea. To learn if bariatric surgery is right for you, attend one of the free seminars offered each month by New Life Center for Bariatric Surgery at Tanova Turkey Creek or Foothills Weight Loss Surgeons at Fort Sanders Regional. Visit our bariatric surgery page at premiersurgical.com for more information. Premier Surgical, expertise you can trust.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Sipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Dan Mullen posing awkwardly with recruits.
For what?
Gators working out wearing costumes.
For what?
Vanderbilt making a sorority-style video.
For what?
Aaron Murray and David Pollock opening their mouths.
For what?
I mean, how can you not put James Franklin on for what? Penn State down 21-28 with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It is, I want to say, fourth and six, and James Franklin decides to kick a field goal. Kicks a field goal. It's 24-28. The kickoff to Kentucky. Penn State don't get the ball back with enough time. Then they had like 1 or 2 seconds left. What has James Franklin been doing with his in-game coaching?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You want to talk about a bad in-game coach. I mean, and for those who watched yesterday's game, you saw how bad Penn State's special teams play was. You allowed Lynn Bowden to take one to the house on a punt return. Kentucky blocked a field goal. Penn State missed the field goal. I believe there was a kickoff coverage that was blown that almost allowed Kentucky to return one to the house. Penn State's special teams play was terrible, terrible yesterday. And what was funny about it was that I can't tell you how many times on the broadcast the broadcasters mentioned that James Franklin on, I believe it was either two or three of the bowl practices, it was just a special teams practice. They spent 2 out of the 15 bowl practices just doing special teams, and that's how your special teams looked yesterday? And then on top of it, like you said, you're choosing to kick a field goal on, I believe it was 4th and 6th on the 15-ish yard line?
The worst part about this is James Franklin, man, he was running his mouth. The tweet that had, 57 Kentuckys in it, and then talking about the real blue and white team. Oh, oh man, then to lose, to allow a Kentucky football coach to be able to trash talk you and call themselves the real blue and white in football, if you're Penn State, that's embarrassing. So
that is,
yeah, James Franklin gets the for what. My next for what, Ben, I'm gonna let you go because you got a good one too.
Mine may have to wait to the top of the hour.
Okay. I'm going to Wisconsin, where a woman was surprised to find a stranger sleeping on her dog's bed next to her 150-pound Mastiff on Tuesday morning. According to police, around 5:20 a.m. on New Year's morning, police say the man was heavily intoxicated and accidentally went into the home and fell asleep next to the dog. The homeowner says she awoke to find the stranger sleeping on the dog's bed in the living room. Here it is. Right here where it gets really, really fun. The man was taken to his home where he lives with his mom. Police say no criminal complaint was filed. So my guess is that they know this person. They just let him go back to his house. Well, never mind, to his mama's house, back to his room. And I guess he started to write on message boards and tweet from anonymous Twitter accounts. I guess that's what he does. But first of all, I'm giving this dog a for what.
Yeah, what kind of guard dog are you?
You 150 pounds? You just letting some stranger walk in? You ain't barking? You're not attacking? You just letting them just snuggle up next to you? Like Butch Jones and Derrick Mason, the 50-yard line before a game?
What? Whopping recipe?
What is going on here? Which is why I think they know this guy. They must know this guy.
The dog had to have seen this guy before.
Had to.
Because my fiance, her roommate had a big old dog that came and actually stayed with me in Knoxville a couple of different times. I took care of it while they went to the beach on spring break. And so I could go, my fiance now lives with her parents for her last semester of college. I could go to the house where her roommate is staying and walk into the house, and that dog is not going to bark at me or try to attack me because it knows who I am. So to your point, that dog had to have known who this person was and had previous experiences with the person. That's the only explanation. If not, if I'm the owner, you got to get rid of that dog. It's not protecting you when somebody's breaking in your house.
I mean, did he break in? The door's unlocked. It's unlocked. I guess it is. I mean, if it's not your place, I guess it is. I guess it is breaking in, but technically, it's not because the door was unlocked. But whatever. I'm giving everybody a for what. I'm giving the man a for what. I'm giving that dog a for what. Everyone gets a for what. I'm giving a mama a for what. Kick that man out of your house. He's a grown man. Get your own place. Everybody gets a for what. Hour 3 coming up.